This program has been produced for Community Radio NIMFM.org, that is NIMFM.org in Nimbin, Eastern Australia, and other grassroots media worldwide.
Welcome aboard and happy and safe descent into the play space today on a
Absolutely.
Not so bad Friday.
It's a reasonable Friday.
Yeah, I guess it's the Friday we had to have, and here we all are then, rolling off the goddess's big old shiny belly.
Bit of an average Friday, bit of an okay Friday, bit of a it'll have to do Friday, bit of a guess we didn't have much choice.
Bit of a she'll be right Friday.
She'll be apples Friday.
A
mate.
Moon in it's Scorpio
all,
slipping and sliding
it's
away
all
Friday.
And good on a Friday.
And it's a pre Mardi Gras shakedown play space on 102.3 Toonim FM, your trusty community camel. You're with Bob and Jack, and it's the funky, freaky, flaky end of Friday.
So good to have you
all week, and it's wonderful. To have you sitting in with us.
Bit of a chilly, moisty, misty,
lovely,
drizzly kind of morning.
Autumn stalks our...
Oh, yes, indeed.
You know, like, I just love it, mate, watching the hills get moist and grey.
Yeah. It's good stuff, isn't
we
it?
We missed out on the wet season, so at least we get a little lick of it.
Every now and again.
Yeah.
Just every now and again. A tiny, tiny taste.
It's a green dream in the northern corner here anyway, that's for sure.
Hey, there was I guess we'll discuss this in greater depth in the Hemp Show. There was a bit of a meeting here in town yesterday, police community liaison.
I was shocked and horrible at the general bad attitude of the what's his name? Mr. Lyons?
Blue. Bluey.
Boo Lyons. Yeah. Boo to you, Bluey.
Yeah, boo to Blue.
What's he on about? I mean, he's trying to turn our thing into a festival so they can shut it down, Roberto.
I know.
And it's not a bloody festival, Bluey. Get it through your head. It's a political rally and protest against your iniquitous and ubiquitous and tragically irrelevant.
Asinine laws.
Yeah, cannabis especially. And the herb is not a drug, Bluey. So sure, have a drug-free festival. We'll be glad if you keep the powders and street drugs and all the eckies and that out of cannabis festival.
More than pleased. There was a bit of a revelation popped out at yesterday's
and
meeting.
The alcohol. And the alcohol.
Yeah.
Especially the alcohol,
keep
Bluey.
A big
keep
lid
a
on that
focus
one,
on the alcohol. Shut down the pub for 3 days, Bluey. Do us all a favour.
And see how much popularity you're going to get from that one.
Anyway.
You have your bosses down in your neck so hard.
Anyway. What a prat. What a prat is all I could say.
You might remember last year they trotted out this lame excuse. Do you remember the lame excuse that there was going to be a gang war here on the streets of Nimbin?
Yeah.
The boys from Lennox and the boys from Byron were going to come over to
rumble the Mardi Gras.
And rumble the Mardi Gras. That's what they said. And they brought out the riot squad and they brought out all the extras, the water cannon in Lismore. It was all good fun. Well, apparently, there's a bit of an admission yesterday, and I don't know whether he meant to admit.
Look, our crowd pacifiers are Gunja Fairies and the Cookie Man.
Absolutely. Anyway, there was this admission that it wasn't really the reason why they sent the riot squad last year.
Oh, it was just a dry run for a real thing that they foresee.
Well, no, you
later.
See, what really happened was that a couple of weeks, you know how they have their pre-Mardi Gras crackdown? They had one last
week. The saber-rattling exercise.
The saber-rattling exercise. Let everyone know that they're still here and you better be wary.
It was pre-election a couple of years ago. Now
it was
sort of post-election.
Well, apparently last year, and you might remember the incident. I remember the incident. I was actually walking through the park at the time. It was about three or four weeks before Mardi Gras. And there was an incident in the park. They had the teams in the overalls in town with the polite written on the back. And they grabbed a guy who was toting off his chops going off. He was quite out of it in the park. And he fought back. He was a Koori fella. And they flung him to the ground face down.
I remember the incident.
Remember the incident? And there was a crowd gathered around filming, jeering. Some were trying to help. Yeah. Some were trying to calm the fellow on the ground down and say, it's okay,
some
brother.
Some were trying to calm the authorities.
Some were trying to calm the authorities down, the whole bit. And in this fracas, there came the words to the cop. I think his name was Graham, the cop that was on his back at the time. We'll get you at Mardi Gras. And two or three voices in the crowd, apparently, according to them that want to retell the story, echoed this sentiment. We'll get you at Mardi Gras, mate. Well, that was all it took. Boom, riot squad. No one is going to threaten the cop and get away with it. Nothing to do with riots with youth. Nothing to do with SMSs intercepted. One baseless, toothless threat from someone completely lost
in
their sanity.
In a high-stress situation.
In a high-stress situation, on his face on the floor in the bloody park, is enough to inspire the entire riot squad.
Oh, they've got to try their new bus too, their $6 million hire bus.
Yeah, so Bluey's promised us that this year...
It didn't get much to do when Dick came through, even though they had it ready.
No, no.
So they're sending over the blues and roots.
Yeah.
And it's got to hang around up in the Northern Rivers here to show
it was
worth driving
well,
Blue's up here.
Promised us
took a lot of petrol to drive it up
it
here,
would've.
Roberto.
He's promised us mounted horse persons again. So we're going to have the equestrian events.
Oh, very good.
He's promised us lots of police but no riot squad. Now, I think that Michael will probably stress this point later on, but for all of you folk that were thinking of coming to Mardi Gras and you're a bit concerned now, don't be concerned. Despite the fact that police numbers will be down, the Mardi Gras authorities, I've been told, guarantee your security.
Absolutely, especially if it's the herb you're bearing.
Absolutely.
They need a drug, folks. Remind them of that if they trouble you over it.
Don't be afeared that you think, oh, gee, the police aren't coming. Maybe the place is going to be out of control. Maybe there'll be fights and so forth. Don't worry.
No,
there will be enough police to protect you and your family. That we can guarantee.
Well, that's what I thought last year. They turned out the big, all the unemployed police of the Sydney were in Nimbin at the time, you know. Anyone they could spare and throw into a black leather suit, you know. But
yeah.
But it basically just took off some of the worrisome elements that had been gathering around our little protest in a few years past. We don't want to become the place where all the party animals go to just trash the joint and leave, so we spend 3 weeks recovering.
Exactly.
And count what's missing out of our front yards and how many garden gnomes have gone off the side of the dam and how many pork paws off the bow.
Totally unneeded and unnecessary.
All the rest of it. This protest was initially about showing people how to take advantage of May the 1st being International Workers' Day, where workers who were disgruntled or happy about anything could gather and indicate what they were happy about or not so happy about.
That's
and
right.
Be free to do so. And even if it took a day off work, May the 1st, which sometimes falls on a weekend, sometimes doesn't.
It just happened to fall on the weekend the first year we did it.
Yeah, so anyway, anywho, we claimed our right. You go to a bit of public ground and assert your common law rights to protest for rights that you think you don't have yet and to celebrate any rights you are confident you want to maintain and already have. And you do it on May the 1st and you call yourself international workers, claiming your right. And any sort of amount of international law can be brought to bear to sustain your activity and to make most statutory laws stand well back and watch the performance.
That's exactly right.
Advocating. That's all ever our dear brother Bob, the initiator.
Yep.
He was trying to show us how to light little fires safely and securely within common law rights to assert our rights against these invidious laws that we've put up with for two generations in this country.
Little fires to warm the souls of your brothers and sisters who are on the same path as
yourself. Spend untold millions trying to stop the herb growing in the hills and being handled by friends in good company. And
it's been
extraordinarily
effective, as we all know.
Extraordinarily effective.
Yeah.
In fact, Bob and I are going to just play a bit of music and... demonstrate a little bit of how effective it is out on the landing there. Because,
absolutely.
You know,
it is
we're with you, folks, hey?
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep it real and keep it rocking.
Yeah.
Keep the chalice burning bright. Keep your hearts in it. Don't let your heads overrule you with fear and greed and stupidity. It was our herb from the beginning, and it will be our herb at the end of the day.
People them a run, can't. Yeah, the Laura's, I mix it. The big dread, I toss it. All night long. Bomba, I rock it.
Nicky Bomba.
Off the Bomba versus La Roz album, a little bit of funk reggae there. And there was a little track called All Night Long. Nicky and DJ La Roz from Israel.
Roberto,
kicking it out together.
Will we nail down with our company this little rave we had on the landing liberating... herbal remedies.
I was talking with Jack about common law and the concept of common law and about how way back, Rocky gave me a little bit of info to read up. The dates, you'll have to excuse me, I'm not quite sure which century we're talking about. The Roundheads had just given up their power again. Charles had come back in as king. Religion was up and flourishing as always.
The Anglican religion. Protestant religion.
Yes, yeah. And Charles passed a law. It was an attempt to stop other people from worshipping other religions apart from the Anglican. And I'm thinking to myself, my, how quickly they revert to the sins of their forefathers.
Exactly.
One of the reasons they bailed out from the Roman Church was that they didn't like being told what to do. And they're immediately telling other people, Anglican is the only flavor we're going to allow.
Yeah.
So they banned... any more
That's
than five
revolution
people.
For you. Yeah.
Any more than five people meeting together and talking together was considered an illegal congregation because the only only legal place to congregate was in authorized Anglican churches.
Mm-hmm. Quakers begged to differ.
The Quakers did beg to differ. The Quakers refused to adhere to this law that had been promulgated by Charles. Yeah. And
the gentry nailed their meeting halls shut,
they
gathered in the streets.
They started gathering in the streets, and they
became subject of arrest. Yeah, and
constantly arrest, release, and so forth. A couple of the pastors within the Quaker church pushed it. They got themselves charged.
Yep.
They were being – I forget the actual charge that they were being – under this law, this strange word. Anyway,
illegal assembly probably.
Anyway, the prosecutor, who was a nasty piece of work, claimed that they were being charged under British common law, and the defendants insisted on being shown the law that they were being charged under. They were told that this was impossible because this common law had been developed over – many, many, many years of decisions handed down by most learned judges.
Great
to the arguments
and barrel
of incredibly
men.
Intelligent barristers and solicitors. And it'd be take too long. It'd be absolutely impossible to actually drag the common law out and show you. To which the defendant replied, well, it can't be
that
bloody common.
Yeah.
And anyway, the jury went off to consider its verdict, and it came back and it said, guilty of speaking in Leicester Street. Well, the prosecution were furious because this wasn't what they wanted at all. I mean, anyone's allowed to speak in Leicester Street.
Yeah.
So they charged that the jury be sent out again and come back with a different verdict. I love the way this worked.
Don't you love English law?
So the jury went out, and they were out for a few hours. They came back, and they did have the verdict, you know, guilty of speaking in Leicester Street. I think they added some little rider after it as well. And talking to a friend and meeting a friend and something incensed the judge.
Yep.
It incensed the prosecutor. And they said, we were going to lock you up without food, without water, in a freezing cold room until you change your mind. And they locked the jury up for 2 days and two nights in a freezing cold room in England.
And they wonder why they have trouble finding people for jury duty.
With no food and no water. And when they let them out, they had finally knuckled under and they changed the verdict to not guilty. They really wouldn't be pushed, this jury. And it basically enshrined from that point on in English law the sacrosanct nature of the jury in terms of you can't push them around, you can't threaten, you can't cajole, you can give them a reasoned argument and it's up to them.
Yep.
And if you push them too hard, they'll just say not
they'll
guilty.
They'll just chuck it out.
They'll just chuck it out. Yeah. As a result of which, the entire jury were fined and the prosecution were fined for insolence and contempt of court The pastors did time in jail for contempt of court for daring to introduce an argument that beat the prosecution. You know, it was a landmark case. Like, I wish I could remember the names of the guys. One of them was quite a familiar name, but I've heard it before. But English law, ain't it grand?
Well.
Religion, mate. What a weird one that is. What a crock. What a crock. Here we are today. This is the holiest day in the entire Christian calendar today.
Not so bad Friday.
Not so bad Friday.
Oh, good enough.
It's good enough Friday. It's the big one. This is the one.
Just look out for men wearing leather sandals, carrying big long planks of wood and bags of nails.
Yep.
Just look out for them is all I can say.
Yeah, all I can say.
They could wreck your weekend.
Yeah, they could really spoil it.
And really set a precedent that would echo down the centuries.
And before you know
just look out for them.
You're just hanging around the cross doing bugger all.
Yeah.
So, yes.
God spare the innocent.
Interesting how a world
The rest of you, look out.
Decides to celebrate as their holiest of days, not the day when their guru handed out some wonderful piece of knowledge, not even so much anything. It's just the day they nailed him up. This is a good enough day. We'll celebrate that. Hey, look at that. It falls right in the middle of the fecund reproductive festival.
Yeah, it just wonders about it. It does sometimes, Roberto.
Look at that, right on the spring equinox. How incredibly convenient.
Anyway. Co-opted and compromised a whole lot of good things.
If you're a believer out there, I'm not.
Yeah, look.
It's not that I'm taking the piss. It's just I just don't understand.
We're not against the spirit of the day.
No,
we just
not
don't
at all.
Understand the imported chalky Easter eggs.
Yeah.
Amongst other things.
That's exactly.
And the bleeding corpses on sticks.
So I've got this.
What's it all about?
I've got this 5-year-old grandson, right? And he's a real hard nut for facts and logic. He really.
Go out there and get a carabilby, you lot, and get a life.
Well, he has a lot of trouble with the whole concept of people believing stuff that's patently not true. Things like, I mean, he's 5, and it's a little bit sad to see such rationale at 5. But
dear me.
Easter Bunny,
mm-hmm.
Hello, Santa Claus, don't be stupid. You can't go all over the world in one night. I mean, I know how fast things travel. Like, just, you know.
Mm,
anyway, so he's been puzzling about this bloody Easter Bunny
and
the chocolate eggs. Puzzling.
Yeah.
And he sorted it all out yesterday at school. Mm-hmm. Last day at school. One of his compadres filled him in on what the truth was.
Right.
Long time ago, there used to be an Easter Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's dead.
Yeah.
And so people just do it for him. But long time ago.
Long live the grand pooka.
I think it's great that there once was an Easter Bunny. He died. And now everyone just has to do the work.
Little guilt bunny droppings fall into strange places.
They do around this time of year.
And hot cross bums.
That comes
later after the chocolate.
We came home. There was the bag of hot cross buns at home yesterday, and I'm saying
no. The hot cross bums.
The hot cross bums.
Yeah.
I thought that was the Catholic Church.
No. Well, you could always go to a bakery for the other things.
Yeah,
they're everywhere.
You can indeed.
Yeah, you can chuck them at sparrows and cats and have a grand old time.
I had a hot cross bun this morning for breakfast.
Did you?
I did.
Oh, you little champion. That's why you're grinning all over your face.
There was one left in the bag, and I thought, first and best dress, grabbed it, toasted it.
There you do go.
Hot cross bun, Easter.
I had traditional North Coast breakfast of avocado on toast.
Sweet.
Yeah. And nice chai. Oh, and a nice spliff.
There you go. Yeah. Boom, boom. I'm going to play it.
I won't tell you what order they came in, but you can imagine for yourselves.
Yeah.
I bet all of you were doing, a good half of you were doing similar. Anyhow.
Let's slip back
to little pleasures.
A bit of yesteryear.
Oh, a little pleasures.
A bit of remembrance. This was a huge hit for the man in question. I don't think I've heard the version off this CD, whether it's just the same as the ordinary one.
This is a South Saturn Delta collection. It's very bluesy.
So is this a compilation, this?
This one? Is an authorised by the Hendrix family remastered.
Right.
Yes, Isle of Wight, maybe, or something. Oh, there's all sorts of bits and pieces.
Okay, let's have a little bit of a listen.
Mr. James Marshall Hendrix, we refer to, of course.
Yeah,
an ascended master we once all knew and still love. Thank you.
must be some kind of way out of here.
All right, rolling under grey skies with a few resurrection shuffles in the play space on 102.3 with Bob the Builder and Jack Generic, the Invisible Man, going out to the feral underclass and all the hardy, nardy possums and sweet rainforest blossoms of Bundjalung country, Boogle Bear.
So nice to be here.
Absolutely. Oh, wasn't that such a clean take on Jimi Hendrix?
Oh, All Along the Watchtower. That's such a good album, Jack.
Righteous. Those Hendrix family authorized digital remasters are the ones to get, folks, if you're looking for Hendrix material on CD. Beautiful production values. And, something to lift your spirits on a okay Friday, what we had to have.
Yeah, reasonable Friday. Damn reasonable Friday.
Yeah, that's right. Bloody beautiful Friday, actually.
Fucking awesome Friday.
Yeah, we're loving it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yowza.
I wouldn't mind a bit more rain, to be
honest.
Did you
know that there's about 400,000 odd invisible men in Australia, Roberto?
No, 400,000
I'm one,
invisible
men. I think I am one, you know, with those ones that are in the too hard basket.
What's an invisible man, Jim?
They're between 30 and 60, which means they're not eligible for old age pensions.
Mm-hmm.
But they're on DSPs, so-called.
Department of Social Security
Pensions. I thought
it
was diabolically spun people.
Diabolically spun people.
Because we've been diabolically spun. See, when I was about 14 or 15 coming through the school system, they were telling us how about all this great sweeping changes that were going to occur, and there's going to be about 5 to 10% unemployed for a good 25 years or so because, you know, all the hay balers and all the wheat cutters and all the pig farmers and all the simple folk, we're going to have to get clever or get out.
Well, it's funny you should
say. And there were some people going to take the challenge and get clever, but there was a whole lot of people they expected were just going to bumble along and die somewhere eventually and become invisible in this greater order.
It's funny, you know, because you...
And lo and behold, Roberto, here we are, 35 years down the track, and I'm an invisible man. One of 400,000 in the land that are between 30 and 60 year olds, some of them with real physical disablement and mental impairment or whatever you want to call it, you know. Mm. But then others of us just sort of slip through the cracks somehow, you know, and ended up in volunteer circles, happy as Larry and getting on with it. But, you know, that's another story, but we're still invisible.
Yeah.
It's funny about that.
It is, isn't it?
There's about 2 million people in Australia that are relatively invisible. But there's those 400,000 blokes between 30 and 60 who are relatively...
not there.
Not there, yeah.
Not
relatively
there.
Spicking because we're not swanning around on the largesse of the mining companies or the fleecing of the sheep on the back or whatever they call it. And we're not part of Mr. Hello's GST dreaming because... you know, we just don't get to play with that many pieces in the casino, Roberto.
I got it all figured out, Jack. I got it all sussed. Because my school taught it slightly differently, perhaps because of the social strata that I was placed in at the time, which was up towards the top of the pile. And we were taught that...
Frugal luxury.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I've ever known. Because we live in a fat country.
So rather than being taught that this wonderful thing called technological progress...
With the typographical errors included.
Them too. Rather than explaining it in terms of...
A few meme defects here and there.
5 to 10% unemployed due to restructuring of the status quo.
Yes.
We were taught that this was going to mean basically far more leisure time.
Yes, this is right. And we were going to have lots of artists and lots of craft
social
people.
Structure.
Yeah, lots of musicians, lots of filmmaking. So that's a cultural activity.
That's it. So we were going to, we were going to have more leisure time. We were going to lead more meaningful lives.
People
were going to
be remunerated for being good at being themselves.
That's right. All of this. This is how it was put across to me. Now, I look at how it's really worked.
An end to war. We weren't going to need anything more than a basic civil defence outfit.
Yeah. I've looked at how it's actually working. And they were right. They were absolutely right. But they just... The only thing that they got wrong, my teachers, was that they expected these benefits to be evenly spread.
That's right.
Across the spectrum. But what I discover now when I look out is that the 400,000...
The trickle-down is pissing in our pockets, Roberto.
The 400,000 invisibles seem to have got all the quality leisure time, and the rest of them work their nuts off from 8 for guilt till 6, taps. 7 days a week on an AWA.
For guilt taps and four-wheel drives.
Well, that's what they think they're working for.
To go from their workspace to their new outstation in the homelands they're making up the north coast there.
It's unfortunate that the guilt taps start to lose the guilt pretty quick, and you've got to buy some more to feel guilty about. But it hasn't panned out quite right.
Buy some water to feel guilty
Somehow
about.
Somehow or other, we got all the leisure. They got all the work.
I know. It's a weird one, isn't it, Roberto? The feral underclass rocks, baby. Time to burn.
Funny little twists, things like that, aren't they? Hey, we've got another.
Money for nuts.
Money for nuts, indeed.
Art for art's sake.
Got a fresh little bit here for Uncle
today?
Al. Today?
We'll find out all about it tomorrow.
Yeah, when I have couldn't my
estimate
shit
it at this
forensically
stage.
Examined, I'll be able to let you know exactly what I ate. Up until then, it's just the green goo coming out of the tube.
That's the one. We're not on the Soylent Green yet.
We hope. I don't know.
Has they been recycling them already?
We actually are on a kind of a
Soylent Green. Has Rookwood trying to become a permaculture orchard or something?
Well, I just saw this. I just sort of watched a little bit of this forensic piece of flimsy on the TV last night, one of those mindless bits of trivia that they slip through
and
call
so
it entertainment.
Aren't we so absorbed in the particulars of exit wounds?
Yeah, but this was actually an interesting one to do with a pharmaceutical company flogging haemophiliac drugs, right? And they had a whole batch that ran for 2 months. $15 million worth of product that was contaminated by HIV. Mm-hmm. One of the ovens that heats the blood up to kill the HIV virus had malfunctioned.
And not taking it to the right temperature.
Not taken. And so they had a 2 months batch of product. Friday. 2 months batch of product, HIV infected. Mm. So, of course, they did what every good company does. They pretended they'd send it to the incinerators, but they really shipped it to Thailand and flogged it, relabeled it. And figured if they could flog it in a country where there was HIV was endemic and rife anyway, no one would notice if the haemophiliacs got it.
The cynicism is bottomless, really.
It only came to light when an American boy whose father was in the diplomatic corps and who was a haemophiliac and who was on a particular prescribed drug over there, and when he came back to the States and they did a recheck and they said, "Hey, you've got HIV." And it all started to come unstuck, and the mother
tracked
had samples,
the batches,
and they tracked the batches and relabeled, read this, read that. They'd relabeled it as synthetic because the synthetic, it's a product that it's an it's a clotting agent. It's a clotting agent. Yeah, and
a coagulant.
Yeah, coagulant. Yeah. And there's two types. One's made from lifeblood, and one's synthesized.
Heparin.
Heparin's something V8 they call it.
Yeah. Anywho.
So the one that's made from live.
So the
blood
pigeon
samples,
came home to roost. Finally.
Yeah.
Isn't it mighty the way that sort of thing happens, Roberto?
Yeah. It all started off as a simple matter of a body that turned up. It happened to be the body of the sales rep
freeze.
To Southeast Asia, and when they finally dug back deep enough, they discovered the guys second from the top were the ones who knew about it. Not the top bloke. He was actually quite clean and quite moral and. But all the vice managers, directors, the vice this and the semi that. Look, anyway.
The invisible men.
Moving right away. I've got a little story here. It says, a further rewrite of history required, it says here. I mean, I don't know why it says that.
This is about the eucalyptuses.
Yeah, about eucalypti popping up all over the planet. In different places, old buggers. Is adding to the 300-year-old gum tree reported in Istanbul, Diane Burgess, hello Diane, good to have you listening, says that when she did a tour of the Uni of Mexico in 1970, the guide pointed out the large plantings of gum trees and told her that these came from Australia, brought over by the Jesuits in the 16th century.
Yep.
Some readers think these claims are not all that far-fetched. I mean, Joanne Hall. Hello, Joanne. Good to have you listening as well. Joanne points out that the Dutch, Spanish, French and English all landed on the great southern continent from 1600 onwards, so it's not inconceivable that one gum sapling was taken back to Europe. Philip Durone, hi Phil, he's discovered a row of old Tasmanian blue gums on the border of Spain and Portugal.
There you go.
And he's in the process of determining their age. So there you go. Big old eucalypts all over the place. But apparently in Portugal, they're virtually a weed in some parts. Eucalypt. They introduced them, and they had no natural predators. They grew in the shittiest of conditions, and they just took over everything. There are whole hillsides covered in gums that they don't want covered in gums because they're non-productive now.
Oh, yeah.
Too bad.
What, they want bare hillsides with goats dancing on them?
Well, it's traditional.
Isn't it? And the little goat maidens.
Oh, yes. And the little flutes in the background. Yeah, that's the ones.
Yep.
Anyway, tough. Leave them where they are. Silly bug. No, apparently it wasn't that at all. It's what it was, but they were too damn efficient for the environment. And they had really screwed up the local water table.
They're having their revenge as we speak because olives are all over the roadsides of Victoria in some parts.
Yeah. Are they?
Around the Goulburn Valley area.
Yeah, right.
They're becoming a weed on the roadsides of the Goulburn Valley area.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Birds love them and pop them out all over the place, even standing up in their own favourite eucalypt, crapping out an olive seed or two. I tell you what, man, it's interesting, hey? The feral olive thing is going to freak people out in about 10 years' time.
Shame you can't, humans can't eat the feral ones.
They don't fruit very well unless they're isolated in a paddock. Yeah. They pump up thoroughly when they're sort of tended by monks. That's the best way to grow olives in Australia.
Yeah.
Tend them with monks every day.
Right.
Have them piss around their proportions.
Have we got any monks around the place?
Not enough, it seems. And the olives are walking well beyond the paddocks.
There you go.
They're getting little wings on their seeds.
Yeah, it's like the cane toads.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the big one they caught in Darwin?
Yeah.
800 grams of
it. Oh, what a wicked, wicked big daddy
grams.
Too.
Yeah, 170 mil long. That's a massive bloody cane toad.
I've seen them that big in North Queensland 32 years ago.
They reckon that there's been a mutation in the species.
Oh. And
yeah. That the original toad that was introduced in North Queensland, it's actually like a colony typer.
Yeah.
Toad. Doesn't really like to jump around that much. Likes to hang out in groups, ravage sugarcane, you know, the usual shit. But... because they did so well in that area, some were forced to have to move on.
The biggest and boldest of them.
Yeah, unlike their native area where they were always picked off by the locals to an extent that they never overpopulated and they didn't need to migrate rapidly. So the biggest and the boldest were forced to have to do a few leaps to the west.
And they'd been listening to the trucks rolling while they were growing larger in the sugarcane fields. I thought, we'll hit the highway.
Yeah, we'll hit the highway.
And that's what they do.
They do. Anyway,
they leap up man-made roads, especially. They love it.
They do.
Go for a moonlight jog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they've discovered.
Puddle to puddle.
Well, it's possibly because of the straightness of the roads and the fact that the roads were warm in the evening.
Mm. And table drains. Yeah. Table drains with bits of water that nowhere else had. And some of them even provided dams along the way for stock moving and stuff, you know. Yeah. So
they're
sort of like toad. Yeah. They became toadstools.
Toadstools. Toadstools. Yeah. Anyway, so this toad has developed a backpack of
hostels for toads.
Yeah.
Mm. All the conditions they need for furthering themselves and fornicating and frolicking in the dark.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So the mutation has bred this larger toad with a built-in desire to. They've got bigger legs. And they've got a built-in desire to hop in a straight line all day.
Awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, like they don't just sort of – it's not anything random. They just get themselves a bearing and they do it.
Yeah.
And all day long they just
– bit like senior diplomats and politicians, mate.
Yeah.
Very one-headed. Can't dissuade them from their line.
You can't.
And they just hop forward. So they never look backwards. They don't want you to look backwards.
No.
You'd see their little quad twack.
I'm a calling you. I'm God knows who. Achoo. The best weed. I have it for you. Achoo. And include every farmer in Ninbin too. Achoo. I man come from Jamaica and I have something for you. Achoo. Yes,
Mini MDC, I'm a smoke and just a Babylon. This is the herb mankind. Yeah, I bring you scissors, Mr. Policeman. This is the herb mankind. Yeah, whoa, it's a part of the government plan. This is the herb mankind. This is the herb man calling. Yeah, we'll be smoking ganja. And you know I ain't doing nothing wrong. Come around, come around, come around. Yeah. I'm calling you, I'm calling you. I'm calling you, I'm calling you. Harvest time and you are included.
Calling out to the righteous and the wicked out there in Bunjalung Green Hills. That was DC in the Family Pact, styled up righteously.
It was done indeedy.
Brother Al, Radic Al down there in Thorburn, burning him up and burning him down, making the music there.
Beautiful little
Sister Neri.
Six-track CD they've put out here. With that was called Herb Man Calling.
Fresh off the burner. And out to you lot out there, courtesy of Radical, beautiful uncle, father in the nation here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Son of the soil. And his in-house goddess there, Neri.
Yeah.
And all them Jarjans, grown up strong.
All them Jarjans.
All them beautiful Jarjans.
It's a tribe and a half down there.
And welcome they are in the Nimbin Nation.
They certainly are. It's a couple of minutes before 10 o'clock on this not too bad Bloody Friday.
Not too bad.
Not too bloody
good
bad
enough.
At all. Good enough.
Good enough Friday.
Bloody good Friday.
Hey, you're in the place, based on 102.3. Awesome. What are you missing then?
Yeah. And if any Christians out there are taking any kind of offence,
the spirit's alive, that
we're taking the
piss. We don't need no churches and bundles
we're
and
not
congregations
really
to approach that spirit. It's wide and free and right there amongst
it
us.
It is indeed. It is indeed. And the essence, the base essence of Christianity, like the base essence of all religions as far as I
is the one love,
out,
man.
Is the one love. And there's no getting around it. There's no escaping.
We're all sister and brethren to someone.
You know, exactly.
Get it real, get it right, get it happy.
Yeah. And he does love you, whether it's God or Allah or Buddha or...
The descriptor is not
Brahma.
Important. The meta friend is not the metaphor.
It's
just get on with it. Keep a spirit in your heart, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Let it speak to you.
I don't want to read that story right now.
It's a head... The lone suffering gods and the repressed nuns are all a head fuck, and they go and get you nowhere because they're keeping you right there, right now. We're designed to be together.
I got all this news here, Jack, and I'm spreading it out here, and none of it's good.
Oh, well, there's so much going on around there, rattling in the cages.
None of it's good, you know. 11 of the largest shark species on the planet have almost vanished.
Vale.
Oceans are out of balance. Yeah, Vale. Vale, the great white and...
Pissing in the ocean.
The tiger and...
Shitting in the sea. It's not a good idea, Roberto.
The nurse is near...
You know why? It's another thing there about the ships being the greatest source of toxicity in our oceans. That's something to do with the whole problema.
Ocean-going vessels, I see here, produce greater quantities of lethal air pollutant sulfur dioxide than all the world's cars, trucks and buses combined. What the bloody hell?
Well,
and here was I thinking that sea travel was a decent, clean alternative to flying aluminium bullets through the stratosphere.
Now, they think they're a law unto themselves out there. And they're like,
well, they probably are because they don't belong to anyone
they
once they get outside the
dump
country's
it in the
limits.
Sink and keep traveling, you know?
Yeah.
Bigging it up. Bigging it up.
There was a report released on Thursday by the International Council on Clean Transportation, and it calls for international regulators to move aggressively to curb emissions from bunker fuel used by freight vessels, which are so bunker fuel's the shit sludge from the bottom.
Yeah.
And they have these ships with these big old diesel motors designed to use crap.
They'd leave a pall of black smoke for 10 Ks in their wake or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, dissolve into a slick on the ocean over the next 12 hours. Yeah.
So it contains an average of 27,000 parts per million of sulfur dioxide.
Yep.
Current US standards for diesel trucks and other vehicles limit sulfur dioxide in fuel to 15 parts.
And that's what's floating and working. I'm concerned too about the freight that was dropped in the ocean during the First and Second World Wars and ongoing conflicts, and it's all just hulks rotting and munitions and fuel and all manner of shit. Just lying there, slowly percolating out.
Exactly, exactly.
The nature is a wonderful organizer, though. You know, like, it sends platoons of efficient microorganisms to these sites, some of which science hasn't even observed or recorded yet. But they're starting to wake up to the fact that if they get their big foot off the pedal and stop the acceleration of the stupidity, then nature's cleanup agents really overwhelmingly got the cure within it, you know. Like,
oh, absolutely. And I see here too, like,
we just got to start collaborating and cooperating with natural law rather than running roughshod again it, and things will come up irie.
Right back to the source. There's another story here, A Mighty Mother in Demise, the story of the Murray and the slow and
the
apparently
mob down
inevitable
there.
Death of the Murray-Darling system with the new shift in rainfall patterns, incredible misuse of what scant water is falling into it in these harsh times.
Yep.
And combined,
trying to carry on with business as usual in the face of rolling decade-long droughts in the last 30 years.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And everyone but the politicians seems to be able to see that and feel that, but they're not allowed to feel things in the Canberra Monkey House. They've got to play ball by the party program.
I'd like to see legislation passed.
And Mr. Howhard 2 years ago came up straight up on his little lectern and said he was going to put the economy before any ecological considerations.
I thought a great start to it all was legislation that basically forbade the irrigation of crops for fibre. Irrigation, like if you can't grow it from the natural rainfall that falls in that area, well, then you don't grow it.
Yeah.
This is fibre crops. This is like cotton, hemp, linen, flax, all that sort of stuff.
If they're needed.
Exactly. For a start, the world owns too many clothes.
Mm. Oh, shit.
I mean,
tell me about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know there are lots of people out there that have, in the poorer countries, have bugger all in the way of clothing, but that's more than made up for by the people with wall full cupboards, you know, like just so many clothes I don't know what to do.
Yeah,
with
I guess
them.
That's what makes the op shops of Australia so provident, Roberto. I never look past them myself.
Op shops and the huge industrial rag bags that get used for keeping everything polished to within an inch of its life.
Yep.
You know, they go through tons and tons of rag waste on a daily basis, cleaning telephones.
I pulled intact silk scarves out of oil rag bins in the iron ore mines when I was a 19-year-old, mate.
And on it goes, you know. And this lust and desire for fashion and everything new, and as soon as it's no longer fashionable,
Oh dear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Off to St. Vinny's.
Simply throwing away a lot of it.
Yeah, a lot of it. Or accumulating moth ball,
landfill, all sorts of shit. I just don't see the point in wasting water on growing fibre
to make
fashion.
Idea.
You know? And I reckon that a simple bit of legislation like that would instantly make cotton unviable apart from in some pretty damper places, move it to where it grows well, and otherwise stick something that can handle the more rugged conditions, like a hemp crop. They require so much less water than cotton. Anyway, I'm probably talking a lot of shit. It's just a thought.
We've got to rethink everything, so talk anything that comes to mind because it could have the great idea we need in it, I reckon. Because the things we're doing, the business as usual isn't working. That's the one that worries me. We can't just carry on business as usual, coal mining industries and cotton industries and stuff. They're so last century.
Yeah, China's the one that's going to be the real worry when it comes to coal products. China and India. They're both doomed and destined for the next 50, 60 years to basically be relying on producing enormous amounts of power to please their enormous populations.
Yeah.
and it'll be basically coal production. And clean coal's a load of crock.
Yeah.
It's the biggest furphy. It's a way
geosequestration is an unpronounceable crock too.
This whole attempt to try to pretend that they can spend the most inane amount of money
trying to justify the wrong track
to build a top-heavy high-tech industry
that makes millions out of consumers who have no say in it or control in the
and
outcome.
And that can somehow lock up all the bad bits in the bad smoke. Rather than stopping the bad smoke in the first place, they're saying, let's continue with the bad smoke and figure a way of locking up the smoke.
Yep. Well, geothermal and solar would do it on their own, I reckon.
Maybe just big pipes that go straight from the factory chimneys into a big hole in the ground.
Yeah, I know, it's bizarre.
You know, like, they're silly, they're stupid. If they spent the time and the energy and the resources and the drive on actually furthering alternative clean energy solutions and really going into it, I mean, Australia could so shine.
Well, that's
on this
why
planet.
Mr. Stern was so strict with his view of what we haven't done yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Got that little track here from Ben Harper.
Who are you?
About where the diamonds should be.
I knew a girl, her name was Truth. She was a horrible liar. She couldn't spend one day long.
Wild in the play space with Iggy Pop and Bob the Builder.
Trying to build.
Reassembling himself beside the microphone there with Mr. G in the house. Suitable distraction in our morning.
Yeah, very suitable. And, very suitable distraction.
He brought his own little friendly musical biscuit with some of his own personal choices. We're going to try and style him into the play space here.
If we can dig them out, but I don't think we can. It's looking a little complicated. And
the inflatable presenter doesn't like importing things at this hour of the day.
No, we'll see. We'll see.
We'll give him some time to chew on Troy's crunchy bits.
He's got lots of crunchy bits.
And he's on standby.
Oh, wow.
Just in case either of us have a heart attack and fall over.
This come from you, Jack.
The Fujila.
Yeah.
This one's for the Fujilas out there.
Fujila. Yeah, absolutely.
Long may they Fuji amongst us.
Yeah. What have you got there in front of you, sir?
Oh, look, I've got all sorts of things. This is interesting. Don't you love white fellas, the way especially the experts in white coats, the ones that really celebrate it by wearing white coats and claiming to be experts.
Yeah.
They always want to steal women's knowledge and reinvent the freaking wheel for a diploma or citation on the wall with their name on it or something like that. But where do they get off, Roberto? Listen to this here. Striking the right chord at birth. Babies should remain attached to the umbilical cord for several minutes after birth to boost their immune system and reduce the risk of them developing anemia. Now, that was published just the other day as news. And there's some real white-coated experts somewhere slapping themselves on the back saying, at last, we've solved it, you know. But they could have asked the Natural Birthing Center in Nimbin that 32 years ago, or they could have asked just about any woman in the land about a century ago. And they would have told him just that.
I mean, it's been known knowledge for a long while.
It's old wives' knowledge, mate. And that's why the premise of my pissed-offedness is, when do these boy experts, who are just experts anyway, and come through a woman to speak to us, where do they get off? Do you know where they get off,
well,
Roberto?
It's funny, these experts.
It's like Barry Lyons telling us our little political rally and protest is a bloody festival for people to enjoy Nimbin. Bugger off, Barry. And the little red wagon you rolled in on.
It's a festival.
Yeah, in his bloody dreams, mate, is all I can say.
In his dreams.
Look, big theatre, big humour, and a bad attitude has carried us this far, so let's keep up the good work, shall we?
I think so. I think so. Yes, indeed. And we'll leave it to the experts to get on with looking at other things. Like I saw on the New Inventors during the week.
Yeah.
This family who decided it was time that they invented something. You know, like the family were sitting around at dinner one night,
And it came to them,
and they're thinking,
"We've got to invent something.
We've got to reinvent something.
We have
basic.
To find an Indian rope trick to get us out of this corner we've painted ourselves into.
Something basic.
Come on now.
Something.
Before you get dessert, you've got to invent something.
Cool. Clothes pegs. Let's reinvent the clothes peg. Good idea. Clothes peg. What can you do with a clothes peg? We can make it open from either end. Double-ended clothes pegs designed so you can hang clothes under clothes under clothes, maximizing your line space. Doesn't matter which
so
way you grab
kite
them out
trails
of
knickers floating out
yes,
over the backyards
you can see
of Sydney.
It now, the kite.
I can see it, mate.
You can see
yo.
It. Beautiful.
Wow, beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yo.
So there you go.
Christo would love it.
They won.
Especially when the sheets really line upright.
It took them 10 years. 10 years to develop the Z spring. The double action Z spring.
Christ on
center.
A crutch.
Yep.
What'll they think of next?
I'm waiting for the guy to bring him out with four ways so you can hang your stuff sideways,
yeah,
build an
yeah,
entire
yeah,
house out of clothes pegs.
Was it wind resistant?
They were great. They were excellent.
It's a worry.
It is a worry indeed.
Dumbing the nation down proceeds apace, Roberto.
It does indeed. That was great. The clothes peg, double-ended. Look for it in your store soon.
Mm-hmm. We could peg each other to it together, sort of thing. Like we could walk around all pegged together.
They beat
that could be fun,
and they beat out of
depending on which appendage they
yeah,
wanted to peg. To
in
which
terms,
appendage.
In terms of an invention, there's another really good one. There was a kayak, which snapped in half and had a central section that snapped into it, that made it from a one-person kayak to a two-person kayak.
The strap.
Yeah, no, you just pull the kayak apart, put a third central section.
Yeah, right.
Pushed them together again, it all locked up, and you stick two people into it. Fully watertight.
Wicked.
Fully stable. Yeah, it was awesome. Didn't make it though, double-ended peg. Beat them to the finish line.
Oh, well, there's more uses for double-ended pegs than collapsible canoes, let's face it.
Yeah, what, apart from hanging clothes?
Can you put wheels on the canoe?
Can you put wheels on the peg? Come on now.
Oh, we could. If you could put wheels on the canoe, you could put pegs with little pieces of cardboard on the wheels. So go clackety, 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 clackety.
Double-ended peg.
Yeah, that's right.
Fantastic. They could come out like Bodicea hubs.
That's a one. Yeah. We could shave one edge of them just for a bit of interest and devil may care.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Get the right hum before you slice their calf off. It's all sounding better every minute. Go the double-ended peg. I'm pleased. I'm very pleased. 24 and a half minutes past
bloody
10.
Good luck to them.
This is NIM FM 102.3, Nimbin's community radio station, voice of the Bundjalung Nation. Welcome aboard.
All righty. We're with you, Roberto.
Yeah. Hoisting the mainsail and heading out into the public eardrives.
That's the one.
That's us.
Throwing it at them. Whether they're ready or not.
Whether they're ready.
Hopefully they've got the Labrador in a safe place.
Yeah.
And the grandmother out of the building.
Fugila.
We used to be number 10. Now we permanent in one. In the battle, lost my finger. Mike became my arm. Pistol nozzle hits the nasal. Blood becomes lukewarm. Tell them, come on, be easy now. Squeeze this summer. Test why cleft.
Deference is not an option. Only outspoken insistence that drug use will not be tolerated. Everyone is obligated to become hysterical at the mere thought of drug use, just as office workers in 1934 were obligated to scream curses like Pavlov's frothing dogs. When the enemy leader appeared on screen, and they'd better scream loud and scream ugly. I remember during the Mike Bell flap, eyewitness news was going around prowling the streets, you know, sticking mics in everybody's face. Well, I think that making the money they do, they should be serving as an example. Now, she gets plenty of mic time. And here's a black cat working on some underground cables. straightens up and says, I think if someone uses drugs, it's his own biz. Boy, did they get that mic out of his face. He didn't even get the word out. Freedom of the press to say what they want to hear and call it the voice of the people. Urine tests. Our pioneer ancestors would piss in their graves at the thought of urine tests to decide whether a man is competent to do his job. The measure of competence is performance. When told that General Grant had a drinking problem, Lincoln said, find out what brand of whiskey he drinks and distribute it to the other generals. Dr. Halsted, one of the great American surgeons who introduced antiseptic procedures at a time when surgeons, far from donning rubber gloves, did not even wash their hands. And the death rate from post-operative infections ran up to 80%. Well, he was a lifelong morphine addict, but he could still hack it and hack it good. And he lost no patients because of his personal habit. In those good old days, a man's personal habits were personal and private. Now even a citizen's blood and urine are subject to arbitrary seizure and search. Why, the world's greatest detective could not have survived a urine test. Which is it this time, Holmes, cocaine or morphine? Watson asks. It's rather disquieting to speculate what may lurk behind this colossal red herring of the war against drugs, a war neither likely nor designed to succeed. One thing is obvious. Old clean money and new dirty money are shaking hands under the table. And the old tried and failed police approach will continue and escalate. In politics, if something doesn't work, that is the best reason to go on doing it. If something looks like it might work, stay well away. A thing like that could make waves. And the boys at the top, they don't like waves.
Rock my boat. Don't you go rocking my boat. Some words of advice for young people from old Bill the Doctor.
Man, he had his finger on the pulse.
That was Wild Bill Burrows, another ascended master. We're doing a little resurrection shuffle here in the play space
indeed.
Because it's a sort of a good Friday. It's a good enough Friday.
It's a damn fine
and,
Friday.
It's a damn fine Friday for a resurrection shuffle.
Exactly.
And some words of advice for young people, courtesy of old Bill.
Absolutely.
He's no longer with us. But the recordings remain.
He had such a succinct way with words. I mean, that was such a straight quote. I remember that quote from that particular. It was from Baskerville, Hound of the Baskervilles.
Yes.
And what is it this time, Holmes? Morphine or cocaine?
Well, once were gentlemen's peccadilloes.
Yeah.
Yeah, once were habits, now are vices, Roberto.
Yes, indeed.
The war against the people proceeds apace. So... Remember, young things out there, hang on to your rights.
Yes, indeed. And love at the heart of it.
Love is the way. Truth is the answer.
Something cool. We
bit
Eleni
of
Eleni Mandel.
Eleni Mandel off a Thrill album there, a track called Action is Action. And I wonder if David Hicks feels that way, that action is action, and any kind of action.
Any kind of action would do. It's amazing watching the stainless steel wingnut and the fish-netted fairy godmother, the utter bummer, and the wooden Indian all squirming.
I love how they started the week by claiming that they could permanently gag the boy.
Americans?
No, the our wingnut and bummer. Oh. Saying that once David was back in Australia, he wouldn't be able to speak.
But then the wooden Indian reminded them that there's nothing in the Australian law to really stop him speaking.
Especially when you're in an Australian jail, you can speak to anyone.
Yeah.
And they can then.
So they're all
pass
sort of
on.
Like whirling and twirling and like a mummer's dance around a parody of some sort of scapegoat that got away.
Oh, yeah. They're not quite sure which
they're
way.
They're the do-nothing triumvirate.
But they're sort of. It's every direction they look, there's a pitfall, and they're sort of caught in that nasty, look like they've got their foot,
the train to Hicksville,
nailed to
and
the
it's
ground.
All one way from here.
It's all coming at them. It's storming at them for a nine-month sojourn in Adelaide's jail.
Mm.
And 9 months. 9 months. A wonderful little interview with the Wingnut and Kerry O'Brien on the 7:30 Report Thursday night. And Kerry was pressing the Prime Minister who continued to
defend the existence of Guantanamo, Gitmo Bay.
That's exactly right. And the veracity of the legal system that got him on the grounds that our legal system couldn't get him. And therefore,
it's because he hadn't done anything majorly wrong except be a bit of a tosser.
Yeah. Therefore.
Misguided because, spiritual warrior.
Because our system couldn't get him. There was only one system that could get him, which was the totally illegal, botched up, against every international law.
Yeah, even
system.
Internal American justice hasn't really been that happy with it. And what was the latest from one of their high justice officers? That Guantanamo should be dismantled immediately to save their face in the United Nations of the world. And
not one of their highest, the highest,
right.
Gates himself.
Right.
Who's the Secretary of Defence.
Yep.
Okay?
He's
a top dog.
Yep.
He said, pull the fucking thing down.
Mm.
He says...
Because they're all king fools.
He said, yeah, because it's all a mess and it's all wrong. But it made me start thinking, Jack, about the... Who's in charge inside the Australian detention centre that takes up such a huge slab of Nauru? Does the Nauru government have any control whatsoever as to what goes on inside?
Isn't it
I don't believe
C4
so.
C4 or G10 or whatever they call themselves?
I don't know. But I started to think.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Is there any real difference between us having this detention centre / torture facility slap dab in the middle of a wasteland that has been levelled and flattened by the various mining companies in the past when they were digging up the island. And
the guano thieves.
The guano thieves, yeah. All the nitrates that they levelled the island and made it a completely barren plain of dirt and rock.
Just to salinate various non-arable lands of Australia with irrigation and superphosphate.
That's the one.
Aren't they wonderful, those egg spurts.
And so they've stuck down this. Here we are in the middle of the South Pacific. It should be an idyllic situation. I mean, when you see what the camp is and it's just this plateau.
Sitting there in bird poop dust.
Yeah, bird poop dust. That's the one. That's the stuff. And I thought, and the Nauruans have got no control.
No.
Absolutely on this huge slab of their island. It's
no, we're real no compassionate mob up in the topper echelons, aren't we?
No different from Guantanamo at all. And we keep people there indefinitely. There was that poor guy there. He was there 5 years too.
Just six, like, I think.
Six?
Yeah.
Just like David's been over there in Gitmo for five.
Yeah, it's just that, unconscionable. Back to that common law. As I understand it, in common law you have to be brought before a fair trial and a jury of your peers and charged with something within 5 years of incarceration, which is a hell of a long time to wait for that. But they thought, well, we've got to put an end to it sooner or later. We can't be seen to be holding people with no charge and no appearance and no representation and no jury for more than 5 years. That might be seen as just shutting them up without any good due cause for life.
It might. It just might. They only got out because they went crazy.
Well, this was the thing. Seriously. Most people within 5 years of that sort of incarceration, it's so Kafkaesque, isn't it, to refer to another precedent there, the trial and the castle by Kafka. They're wonderful stories about the state when it goes AWOL and becomes unaccountable and does things that are unconscionable to the citizens.
Exactly right. Which is what is happening.
It's happening everywhere you look.
It's happening everywhere.
Yeah, the dog's well out of the basket.
Anyway.
Who let the dogs out?
Yeah. I'm going to play this song. This is for Dave Hicks. And I'm sure he's going to be so glad when he touches down on Aussie soil. He won't give a shit whether it's bloody Adelaide or anywhere else. He will just be so pleased.
He'll take as long to walk out of these woods as it's taking to sit in him, I reckon. It'll take him a good 5 years to sort his shit out and get a life.
At least. At least.
We wish him luck.
Yeah, mate.
That's the least you could offer him.
Let your sword of vengeance rest. Oh, oh, do the blind lead the blind. Well, well, don't be cruel to be kind. Only then will your high house be blessed. Yeah, and offer prayer, well, well, offer sweet prayer, yeah, now. To your running back, yes.
Tell him.
God's not home, Jesus is on the main line, and this is a recording. Please leave an appropriate message, and we'll get right back to you when we're free. Hey, Roberto.
I think that's about it, my brother.
On a not-so-bad Friday, all in good faith.
We did
pretty
well.
In the play space on 102.3.
Your community camel.
Top of the day to your sister and brethren.
It's
stay
been
strong.
Really nice spending a couple of hours with you all.
Wonderful time. Wonderful
time. We always
time.
Love it.
Thank you for steering the buttons and sliders of it all, Roberto, and keeping the glitches and gremlins at bay as you do in your own inimitable way.
Always a pleasure. That last track, by the way, that was Rai Kuta off his Paradise and Lunch.
That's the one.
And that's what we all want, Paradise.
And we had
lunch.
A little bit of Harry Manx from his Wise and Otherwise with some words of advice for young people,
only
which
then.
We're full of, and you can pay attention if you like.
Will your house be blessed from Harry Manx? That was also that was off his We're All Otherwise.
Wise and Otherwise.
Wise and Otherwise, is it?
That's the one.
Had the light.
Harry and his funky
light.
Movina.
Yeah, no, that was
it's a wonderful album.
Nice, tasty stuff. So sit still.
Kieran and Nina.
Kieran and Nina.
Echo terrorists from the Bundjalung Nation.
Rearing and busting to come in here and assault
your
eardrums.
Stroke your fancies.
Okay, stroke them, not assault them.
Yes.
I'll stroke them gently. They might even just give you a little
swing
slap around
in
the head now and again if you're not paying attention.
That's the one.
But, you know, and pay attention. And there's a big story I noticed on the front of the Good Times, this last issue.
Yep.
To do with the cyanide blockade over there at Kyogle.
Yes, it'll be done by stealth next time, folks.
Graham claiming by stealth next time.
Because they got shafted, as you do.
Well, yes, they got shafted. You have to expect to get shafted. And I suppose
because Barry can't lie straight in bed, nor any of his ilk.
No. But I think the authorities sit back and rest on the letter which said, well, we told them we'd stop the train. We stopped it for a minute or two till the police told us it was okay to
go. Did you see that little excuse that boy in Victoria did about the $10,000 out of the boot of a car? He's a policeman.
Yeah.
He said, oh, loyalty to the boys. That's why I did it.
Loyalty to the boys. I was just.
Well, you know, the boys' club he's referring to, the joke.
Yeah,
the joke,
yeah.
Good people. This is what the police department refer to their operation as on the inside.
Yeah, it's all a bit of a joke.
Outside the citizenry and the politicians of the land's hearing earshot and beyond the NCA and any of their in-house detectives, they call it the joke in capital letters, and it's a joke on us if we let them persist with it, you know.
A police officer who stole $10,000 from the boot of a car and allegedly split it with a colleague has avoided jail, arguing he was influenced by the police culture of brotherhood.
At least he's honest.
Yeah.
And they can't afford that in the police force.
Influenced by the police culture of brotherhood. Everyone steals money from cars. What do you mean? What is this about? That's what we do. Have you seen what our paychecks
are? How else do we pay for our Christmas toys for the kiddies?
I had to buy my own gun, you know.
Yeah.
I had to buy my own gun and my uniform. Anyway, enough of all that shit. We're out of here.
And my Gucci shoes.
Yeah, and your Gucci shoes. Your Gucci police boots, mate.
Yep. Hush puppies, mate.
Hush. Going out with a little track here from Alice Russell.
We're devotees of the holy thong ourselves, Bob and I.
We are indeed. And this is one I thought I'd make sure that
another holy thong?
Yeah,
on
a holy thong.
Not so bad Friday?
It's a bit of a holy thong, yeah.
Okay.
From it's been a bit of a holy
thong. I lost a few teeth in the third, but you can tell, yes. Can't you?
I thought Quantic should join her on this one.
Oh, wonderful.
And someone.
Alice is appearing in your sunshine out there at the Blues and Roots.
Someone's going to love you.
Somebody's going to love you. What are you gonna do about it? Somebody's gonna love you. You don't turn and walk away. Somebody's gonna love you. There ain't nothing no you can do about it. Somebody's gonna love you. Oh, yeah. Somebody's gonna love you. What are you gonna do? Someone's gonna love you. What is there to say? Somebody's gonna love you. You can't try and stop them, baby. Someone's gonna love you.
Thank you for listening to NIMFM.org. My name is Martin. I am the editor. There are other free MP3 downloads available at nimbinradiomedia.libsyn.com. Libsyn spelled as in Liberated Syndicate. Our program schedule can be viewed at www.nimfm.org. You can mail us also to Nimbin Independent Media Incorporated, Post Office Box 522, Post Office Nimbin 2480, Australia. NIMFM, from the people, for the people.